Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden Amen. Daf Yud Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Albert Aini. Today's daf has also been sponsored Le'ilu Nishmat Hadas Bat Yehudit. Ruach Hashem Tanichina Began Eden. Today's daf also is being learned Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichina Began Eden and Refuah Shelema Moshe Ben Victoria. We are starting on Ted Zayin Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. We are still trying to get to the 18 Gezerot that were made by Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Therefore, we're still short. So the Gemara asks, Ve'idach Mai, what is the other one? We're continuing the count. So the Gemara says, Ve'idach Mai, what is the other ones? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. כל המטלטלין מביאים את הטומאה בעובי המרדע. First, let's define the terminologies. Metaltelin are movables, objects that move. מביאים את הטומאה, they are able to bring טומאה if these movable objects, for example, are roving over a dead body. Part of the object is over a dead body and the other part of the object, let's say, is under kelim. So therefore, since part of the object is over a dead body, it is able to bring tum'ah on the other side. On the other side of the object, for example, in this case you're holding a marda. A marda, if you look at your books, Perush Chai 176, it is a long stick that they used to have a point at the end that was called a darban. They used to guide the animals. They used to, you know, when they wanted the animals to go straight, so, you know, they would take this darban, this long stick, and they would, the marda with the darban at the end, in order to guard it, they would point it in order that the animal would stay on line. In any event, this would be a marda. So imagine you have this marda that in its thickness, the thickness of the marda, when I tell you the thickness, I mean the width of this stick is less than a tefah. Now normally, for an ohel to be an ohel, a roof for tum'ah, usually it needs at least the thickness of a tefah. We're talking about over here a rabbinical decree that it does not have the thickness. If you see 177, you'll see that the marda itself, it does not have any sticks. However, the yesh behekefot tefach, in the circumference of the marda, as you see in Aleph, that's the circumference of it. If you would open the circumference, so to speak, imagine that the circumference of it is like a string, and you would unravel it, that would be more than a tefach. So imagine the circumference is 3 tefachim or a tefach or more, and the thickness would be, let's say, a third of a tefach. That's the point. And this marda is roofing over something that is tameh, like a dead body, so it can bring tum'ah to the other side of the marda, to the stuff that's on the other side. So let's read that inside. Kol ha-metalterin mevi'in et ha-tum'ah be'ovi ha-marda. For that matter, any metalterin, any movable that has less than the thickness, width of a tefah, but has a circumference of a tefah, we're talking about cylindrical objects over here, can bring tum'ah to the other side. Let's read that in Nashi now. Bottom Nashi on the page. Kol ha-metalterin mevi'in et ha-tum'ah mishum ohel. She'im ihel rosho echad al ha-met. If one of the sides of this object roofed over a dead body, v'roshu echad al hakelim, and the other head of the object over vessels, mivim nahem tumat oil amit, is considered as if those objects were in the oil of amit. Therefore, litame zayin yamim, anything that's in the tent of amit needs a purification of 7 days. V'liyot avatumah, and it becomes the level of avatumah. The met is abi avotatumah, and when it's metameh, becomes avatumah. Kedir oetameh be'ovi amarda, Next Rashi, afilu en bahem poteach tefach, which means even though the thickness of this cylindrical object is not the width of a tefach, ela keobi amarda. It's like the thickness of a marda, which is, like I told you, say a third of a tefach. Rukaman mefaresh, later we're going to learn, yesh bekefo tefach, it has a circumference, however, of a tefach. Again, like I showed you in picture number 177, you see the circumference of the object is a tefach. Hu tefach sarik lakifo, ve'afagav de oil deoraita, pachot me tefach lo avi. Even though from the Torah to be an oil, you need at least the thickness of a tefach, the roof has to be the thickness of a tefach. However, the rabbis came along, this is according to this opinion, Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel had an argument on this, this was one of the Yud-Hayit Gezerot, and they said, the Gezerah was as follows, they were Gozer, in a case of Hekef Tefach, that you might come to do obyot tefach. That if they allow you to get away with the laws of tum'ah, when the thickness is not a tefach, but the circumference is a tefach, so then you might not make a difference, and you might come along and make an oil deoraita, where the thickness of the object is a tefach. Then already it's tum'ah, deoraita, because it's moving over the item. So the way they said it is, gazru al hekefo atu obyot. They will gozer on the hekef, atu to the gezerah, to the obyot, to the thickness. Even though the thickness, as we're saying over, is not a tefah, they still made a gezerah. So that's the one of the 18. So coming out says Amar Bitarfon. Bitarfon comes along and says, no way. Akapeyah et beni. Bar Minan, he says, I should lose my children. I should lose my sons. Shizu alacha mekupahat. Because this halakha that was said is mekupahat, meaning the way they say is meshubeshet. Shubeshet means it's mistaken. This is not a true halakha. So he would talk in a very strong terminology, meaning, God forbid, Rashi learns it. Why was he so upset? Mitzta'iraya al Torah mishtakahat. He was so upset, this was to him the forgetting of Torah. So this was not the law that was said. This is a wrong law. And therefore he was so upset. He would say, you know, my children should hazmat shalom if this is a true halakha. Like, this doesn't make sense. Tosfot says on the bottom, "Akapeh beni lashon shivuahu," which means he was like swearing. Which means the children should die if this is true. Like, impossible. Why? He says, "Sheshama shomeah v'ta'ah." Says the one that said over this halakha, heard something, heard a halakha being said over, and he drew a conclusion from the halakha that he heard, but it's a mistake. He missed the point. What did he hear? So he says, Ha'ikar over. You have a farmer that is passing, Umarda'o al ketefo. And he has a marda'at on his shoulder. Ve'ihel sido achat ala kever. And one of the parts under the marda'at roofed over a kever or a met. Tme'o oto. So they rendered him tameh. Mishum kelim ma'alim ala met. They rendered the farmer tameh as kelim that are roofing over a mit. If you look at your picture in 178, you see the farmer over here, the fellow that has his mardat over his shoulder. Part of it is on him, and part of it is over a kever. So what was the deen? The deen is that the mardat receives tum'ah from the kever. The marda'at would become an avatum'ah, the marda'at itself. Since the fellow was holding the marda'at, the fellow would become a rishon le tum'ah. Again, the met is aviavot, it makes the marda'at an av, the fellow that's holding it becomes a rishon. That was the deen that was said. Now, let's see where exactly this mistake was made. Rashi. Sheshama Shomeya. כשנשאלה השאלה, when the question was asked, על ידי מעשה בבית המדרש. What's the מעשה? This story happened in the בית המדרש. The question was asked, raised. ושמע שתמאוהו. He heard that the law is תמא. ותאה. He made a mistake. ולא ידע משום מה תמאוהו. That he didn't realize what's the reason why they made the fellow תמא in this case. That was his mistake. Why? הם תמאוהו את המרדע. The reason why they made the מרדע תמא. משום כלים המהילים על המת. Because bottom line, it's a keli that's roofing over a met. Shakli atzmo ma'il, the kli itself that roofs over the met, tameh becholshu. That's a rule. Which means for the keli itself that's doing the roofing, you don't need a shiur on that. You don't need thickness, you don't need circumference. That keli itself, no matter what the size is, if it's over a met, the keli itself can become tameh. The lobaina poteach tefach ela leshavye oel lavi tumah tachat roshu hasheni lavi tumah al achirim. You only need thickness of tefach in order to bring tumah to the other side to metameh things that are underneath the other side. So let's get this rules good. For itself, you don't need any shiur. If it's roofing over a met, it becomes tameh abatumah immediately. The poteach tefach, I mean the thickness of a tefach, that only is necessary if you want to bring the tum'ah on one side and transfer it to the other side, to metameh the kelim that are on the other side. Aval gabedi deh, but for itself, as she says, bechol shehu. As long as you have even a thickness of a kol shehu. V'tim'u le'ikar tum'at ayirev. The reason why they made the fellow tameh, tum'at ayirev, which means he has to go to the mikveh and wait till the night. Mishum שנגה באותו כלי שהוא אב התומה, because he touched the kid that became an av, וזה שנגה בו ראשון. And therefore the fellow that's touching the av התומה becomes a ראשון. והשומע טעה לומר, the guy listening, he thought שעשו לכאן אב התומה. They thought that they made the fellow an av לתמה זין ולטעון הזיה. He just heard the fellow's תמה. He said, oh, he's tameh, why? Because he's holding a marda. It's less than a tefah. And therefore, what's on one side can bring the tum'ah to the other side. So since on one side the tum'ah is ava tum'ah, so he's under the roof itself because he's holding it. So the ava tum'ah goes to him. And therefore, ava tum'ah is already tum'at met. And therefore, he needs 7 days purification, and he needs the hazaya of the paraduma. So that's what Rabbi Tarfon was saying. He says he missed it. This is no halakha. There's no such thing halakha that says if the thing is less than a tefah, we make a gezerah to the other side. When they said tameh, they meant the man is tameh rishon. So that's not a deen of a tumat mit that they put on the guy. Tumat mit has no there's no place in this case of it. There's no tefah, but there's no thickness of a tefah. So that's what Rabbi Tarfon was saying. This is not a halakha. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rabbi Akiva, ani ataken sheyu devrei hachamim kayamim." He says, "I have a way to make the words of the hachamim viable." She's the first opinion. I could bring them back. That shita, and I'll say what sheyu kol ha-metaltelim mivim et ha-tum'ah al ha-adam shenoseh otam ve'ovi ha-marda. ועל עצמן בכל שן, ועל שאר אדם בכלים בפותח תפח. Which means the Biakiva says, I could give you the dinim as follows. Let's read Rashi together. אני אתקן שיהיה דברי חכמים. I could fix the words of the rabbis, שאומרים עובי המרדע מביא תומעה קיימים. That I could say that when you have the thickness of a מרדע, it can bring tum'ah on a person. How? Yesh davar shemivim halav tum'ah mamash leton azayah medivrehem. I have a case where midrabanan they're going to make you need 7 days at azayah. Kegon ala adam nos'an. On a fellow that's carrying the mardah, shetameh bo tum'at maga' min ha-torah. Which means, let's analyze ourselves. The case we just said, he's holding the mardah. Min ha-torah, he's a rishon. That's clear. Because the marda becomes a av, doesn't need a thickness to become tameh the marda. He's holding the marda, he becomes nishon min ha-torah.
So that she says, "Shetamebo tumat magam min haTorah." In that case, gazru alav be'ovi amardali tamet tumat oel medivrehim. In that case, where the fellows already tamem min haTorah of tumat rishon, they were metamehim to need 7 days an azaya. Why? Gezerah kefo mishum ovyo. Because they're going to make the gezerah that even though you don't have a thickness of a tefah, you just have the circumference of a tefah, like the shiur of the marda, you might come to have a case where it's going to be the thickness of a tefah. And if you have the thickness of a tefah, then the fellow was an av hatum'ah min haTorah. Tekevan de metame'ele al korach tum'at deoraita latzorchei erev shemesh v'hulo nagah bemet. The fellow's going to think like this. I'm tamem deoraita. And he's not going to realize that his tumah is a tumah of a rishon. He's going to think that he has regular tumah on him, regular tumat mit. And what are the rabbis allowing him to do? They tell him, just go to the mikveh and you're okay. So what's going to end up happening? The next time he's going to have a mardah that is the shi'ur of a tefah. And he's going to say, oh yeah, last time when I had the mardah, I just went to the mikveh. He's not going to realize that if there's a tefah, he's tamem deoraita. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, yes, in a case where they're putting a tum'ah deoraita on him as a rishon, in that case we're going to gozer to say as well, put a tum'ah deoraita on him, put a tum'ah drabbanan on him of what? Of tum'at mit. Why? And she continues, kasabur shemishum oil atam metameo. He's going to think that what? That the reason why he's tameh when there's no tefah is because of oil. Umishum she is bekefotel. He's going to think circumference is enough. The keman delad betumat betumat zayin, and since they're not giving him zayin, ati lememar beoil gamur na betumat erev. He's going to think that when it's a complete oil of a thickness of a tefah, they're also going to give him. So therefore, that's the case of the gezerot. Again, when the fellow was walking with a marda, let's say shiur of a marda, circumference of a tefah, thickness less than a tefah, min haTorah he's tameh rishon. However, the Acharim came along and said, "Your tameh zayin, gezerah atu hekefo atu obyo." That he might make a mistake and say, "Oh, I'm tameh mishum oil now because of the circumference." He's really not, but he's going to think that. He says, "Oh, I'm tameh. They're only giving me mikveh. I don't need zayin." Next time he's going to be carrying the items, going to be sickness of it. He's going to be really tameh min haTorah zayin. He's going to say, "Oh, last time I went and dipped in the." Last time I went and dipped in the mikveh, I didn't need zayin, so I don't need zayin. So that's why they made the gezerak. Finish Rashi. Aval sh'ar adam vekelim she'en nogim bo ve'en alecha letame'an klal en mevi'im shum tuma ela bepoteach tefach. Which means, in a regular case where the guy, there's no guy there, you just have a keli. I'm going to say amarda over kelim. In that case, we'll say that only the marda becomes tameh if it's less than a tefah. In that case, we're not going to make a gezerah that if it's less than a tefah, I can bring tum'ah to the other side. Only when there's a man involved. Like this case where he's holding it with his gezerot, that he might make a mistake and think. However, if it's just a marda over kelim, nothing to do with it, and it's less than a tefah, so we're going to say only the marda itself that's under the mit has tum'ah, but it cannot bring the tum'ah to the other side. We'll keep the deen of the Torah. I mean, the marda will become a rishon and finish. The marda become an ava tum'ah. Exactly. That's it. Finish. Doesn't affect the things that are on the other side because doesn't have the shiur of a tefah. The tum'ah is the metas abi abota tum'ah. The marda will become an ava tum'ah, and the ava tum'ah cannot do anything to the other side. Mira, because it's not the thickness of a tefah. Only in a case where there's a guy involved. Wait, min haTorah he's a rishon because he's under it. Min haTorah, he's touching it. When he's touching it, he becomes a rishon. He's touching it, so therefore he's going to think, "Oh, I'm touching it. There was an oil there, poteach tefach. I mean, hekefot tefach." He's going to think one day. So that many gezerah on him. No, do 7 days after the case of your tefach. That's the Biakiva. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'amar Rav Yanai, and Rav Yanai just said the case he's talking about, Umarda she'amru en be'obyo tefach. As we said, the marda that we're talking about over here did not have the thickness of a tefach. Ve'yesh be'kefo tefach. Ve'gazu al hekefo,
They made a gezra on the circumference. Mishum of your comes the Gemara and says, "Rabbi Tarfon d'Amar akapach et banai shalakazu mekupacha." The coin to Rabbi Tarfon that he was against this halakha. He was the one that said, "This is shechata Torah. This is forgetting the Torah. This is not the law." So he came up. So now the question is, batzru lehu. So he's missing one of the 18. Because if he doesn't count, this is one of the 18. So he's short. So what does he do? Amar Rav Amar Yitzhak, Av benot kutim nidot ma'arisatan bo bayom gazru. He'll count, benot kutim are nidot. That was one of them we learned on the previous daf. That benot kutim are considered the little girls of the kutim, they consider them nida at birth. So the only question is, that was one of the 18. We're still short. We counted that one already. So the Gemara says, "Ubi idach sfira lekerabim meir," which means he'll also hold of the case of Rabbi Meir when you put the bucket over the under the drain pipe that went into the mikveh. There was a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef. Do you count that as one of the 18? Rabbi Meir said, "No, you count that as one of the 18 for the law of Mayim Sheuvin, that when you put the bucket there and then the water fell into the bucket." And then you forgot it there. Beit Shammai said it's considered Mayim Shuvin even though you forget it. Beit Hillel argued. And Halakha will follow Beit Shammai. So therefore, you have, according to him, as part of the 18, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you have the case of Benot Kutim. That's one. And then you have the case of the Beit Shammai case with the bucket under the Sinor, catching the water to go into the mikveh. So that fills the shortfall. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'idach, we're still short. We need 18 here. We didn't get to 18 yet. Ve'idach, what's the other one? Habotzer legat. What's the fellow doing? Botzer, he is picking grapes. And he's picking grapes in order to put them in the gat, that's in the press, in order to make wine. Shammai omer ukshar. Shammai says, when you put them in these baskets, now, it's going to be inevitable, some liquid is going to ooze out of these grapes, and it's going to wet them. But Shammai says that even though these baskets are open baskets, there's holes in them, and the liquid is dripping out, which means you're not really using that liquid, but since you're taking the grapes in order to use them for the wine, and you take them to the press, it's considered as if you want that liquid. And therefore, the rule by Hakshara is if there's ratzon anywhere in the process, so that liquid that's going to wet the grapes can prepare them to receive tum'ah. Meaning, if a sheretz now falls on these grapes, since they became wet from the juice, so therefore it's considered Hakshara. That's the opinion of Beit Shammai. Hillel omer lo hukshar. Hillel says, no, bottom line, you don't want this juice. What's the proof you don't want this juice? You have a basket with holes in it. This bed is it's draining out, and therefore it's not considered hukshar for tuma. So that's one of the machlokot. Amar leHillel leShammai. So Hillel now challenged Shammai's reasoning. Again, this is Hillel and Shammai themselves. These are not the students. Hillel told Shammai, "Mepnema butzrim betahara ve'en moskin betahara." He came along and asked him the following question. Rashi, "Mepenema ata masik lebsor bekelim tehorim," which means, Beit Shammai said, since it's considered hakshara, he demanded that the baskets that you use to put the grapes in must be tahor. It's obvious, because if you're considering it hakshara, if the baskets are going to be tameh, immediately the basket will be metameh, the grapes, because the grapes were mukshar from the juice. However, Beit Shammai said, for some reason, that when you're going to pick your olives, which seemingly should be the same issue, and you're putting the olives in the basket, and the olives sometimes, let's say, have little juice that comes out of them on it, the baskets could be tameh. As if he's saying, there's no hakshara by olives, only by grapes. So Hillel said, what's the difference? If you need baskets that are tehorim by grapes, because it's hakshara, why shouldn't you need baskets that are tehorim by olives? The same thing should apply hakshara, and if we need tehor baskets, in order that don't become tameh. He didn't understand the chiluk. Obviously, Beit Shammai had reasons to make a difference. Hillel, when he heard the reasons, he says, no, those reasons do not make a difference in the deen. So Hillel asked him. And I read again, Amal Hillel Shammai, Mipnei ma botzrin betahara, ve'en moskin betahara. Moskin is picking the olives. Amar le, so Shammai says, Im takniteni. If you're going to bother me, if you're going to provoke me, gozrani tum'a af ala misika, then I'm going to say it's tameh also, that you have to be mahmir in the misika also of the halos. I'm going to tell you, you need tahor kirim also. What was he saying? He wasn't going to just say a halakha just because he got provoked. He was saying, listen, if you can't find the difference, and you're a great rabbi, I'm going to have no choice but to be mahmir as well. I mean, if you continue answering up all my proofs, so then I'm going to be mahmir as well. Just like the grapes you need tahor in the basket, so to buy the olives. In any event, na'atsu chereb bebet ha-midrash. Shammai then, rabbis of Shammai took a sword and they thrusted it in the bet ha-midrash. Whenever they would thrust a sword in the bet ha-midrash, that was already at the time that they wanted to come out with a conclusion. Which means, halakha le-ma'aseh. They would, you know, want to come out with a bottom line. Amen when they said, Hanichnas yikanis. Shammai would say, anybody that wants to enter the Bet Midrash can enter. But nobody leave. It seems Shammai here had a majority at this point. So Shammai wanted to keep their majority, take a vote, in order that the halakha will come out like them. So everybody said, anybody want to come in from Shammai, you can come in, but nobody can leave over here. Everybody's got to stay. ואותו היום היה הלל כפוף ויושב לפני שמאי כאחד מן התלמידים. That day, Hillel, who was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, was sitting in front of Shammai, subjugated like a student, like one of the students. Shammai had the upper hand over Hillel on that day. And it was difficult that day for Klal Yisrael as the day that the Jewish people worshipped the Egel, where as Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, and they, so to speak, they replaced Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was subjugated. Vegazur Shammai veHillel. So they had no choice. Hillel had to agree to Shammai, because they were in the minority on that day. Hillel. So it says, Vegazur Shammai veHillel. So they made a gezerah. That what? When you're taking your grapes, the kelim must be pehorim, and the juice that's on the grapes is considered hakshara. Only problem is, ve'lo kiblu minayu. That gezerah was not widely accepted in Klal Yisrael. As we said, it happens sometimes. Rabbis can make a gezerah, but it doesn't get accepted. Either it's too difficult, or for whatever reason. So their gezerah never stuck, so to speak. Ve'atu talmidayu. Later on in history, the students of Hillel and Shammai came along. Gazur ve'kiblu minayu. So therefore, that would be one of the 18. Originally, it started from the masters themselves, but they couldn't get it passed, meaning accepted in Klal Yisrael. So the Talmidim came, and they re-voted it. Again, Shammai had the majority at that time also, Bet Shammai, and they ruled that what? That the kelim, that you put the grapes in when you're collecting them, that juice that's on the grapes is considered hechsher. So the Gemara says, my tama, what's the reason why they made such a gezerah? So we have over here four reasons why they would make such a gezerah. Amar ze'iri amar of Hanina. Number one, gezerah sheme yibserenu bekupot teme'ot. This is a rule. There's an opinion here in the laws of Hechsher. The opinion says like this. You have a basket. Let's say you're not interested in the juice that's coming out of the grapes. So from that standpoint, there should be no hakshara. Hechsher is only when you want it miratzon. Which is, let's say, even a better case. You don't even want the juice at all. Let's say you're taking these grapes not only to press them. Let's say you want to make raisins out of them. But you're not going to even use the liquid bichlal. So you say, impossible, there's no hechsher on that case. I mean, you don't even want the liquid at all. The rule of hechsher is miratzon. But there's a shita that says that even in such a case, if you put the grapes in a tameh vessel and the liquid comes out, it's automatic hechsher. Why? Because you use tameh vessels. What's the logic? I don't know the logic, but the principle that they're using is when tum'ato vehechshero ba'im ka'ahat, it's hechsher. Which is in this case, the basket is tameh, let's say. So now the basket's touching the grapes, obviously, yeah? Now when that liquid comes out of the grapes, that liquid now becomes tameh from the basket itself, and at the same time that the tum'ah is becoming on the liquid and the grapes, it is being machshir the grapes, it is covering the grapes. So there's a rule. Hechsher does not need ratzon if it's simultaneously being machshir and the tum'ah is right there. As opposed to a regular case where the hechshara happens, and then all of a sudden 5 minutes later, shed it falls onto the item. That's not hechsher, because you don't want it meratzon. But if you put it in a tameh keli, the hechsher, and the juice falling on it, and the tum'ah is right there. And the moment it's hechsher, the tum'ah is in the basket. They hold that that's automatic hechsher. So that's why they made this gezerah. The reason why they made a gezerah of hechsher, because they were worried that you might come to use tameh baskets, and that's automatic hechsher, so they made a gezerah in all cases. That's reason number one. So the Gemara says, "Hani haleman damar kli tameh choshev mashkim shapir." Now that's going to quote the opinion that says that a kli tameh makes the mashkim hashuv to be considered a hechsher. And haleman damar in kli tameh choshev mashkim. But according to everybody else that doesn't hold of this opinion, that kli tameh automatically makes the liquids hechsher. Ma'ikalimar, what's the reason why they would make such a gezera? Reason number two, Amar Rav Hanina, Gezerah Shema Yibsrenu Bekufot Mezufafot. Easy answer. You might come to put the grapes in baskets that are tarred, meaning they have no holes. Now, in that case, you clearly want the liquid, because you're saving the liquid. Now, in that case, everybody would agree, it's Hechsher. So they made a Gezerah in a case where using baskets with holes, where the liquid's coming out, after a case where using baskets that are Mezufafot, that are sealed, and therefore you're definitely hechsher because you're saving the liquid. Reason number three. Rabba Amar Gezerah Mishum HaNoshchot. What is Noshchot? So Rashi comes along and says, Ashkolot, clusters, bottom two lines of Rashi. Ashkolot HaNoshchot Zuetzu. It's like they're rubbing against each other. Or they're hugging against each other, so to speak. They're attached. The clusters of grapes, uksheba lafridan, now you want to separate them. You want to separate the clusters of grapes. So when you come to separate them, nishata mashke, so some liquid comes out. Alehen, dechevan da'avad biyadayim, since you did it with your hands, velo efshar velo sechita, and it's impossible to split these up without some liquid coming out, it's considered automatic hechshara. Another rule in hechshir. If you did it with your hands, and in the way you did it, it's like a psikir hechsher almost, which is it's almost an automatic, it's inevitable, that when you're going to pull these apart, there's going to be some liquid, that's considered ratzon. Because bottom line, there's no way to separate them without the liquid coming out, so therefore, that's considered a hechsher. The reason why we said the liquid has on it is hechsher by grade, because you might have a case where the things are together, the clusters are together, you're going to have to come and separate them, and it's inevitable that it's going to drip on them, and that's considered automatic, and the hechsher is going to be hechsher. For that one case of gezerah, mishum hanoshchot. Fourth answer, Rav Nachman amar Rav Abba Rabu, ta'amim shadam olech lekarmol, ida imigiya, higiyu anavim lepsira. Sometimes a guy goes to his field, and he wants to know if his grapes are ripe yet, to know if they're ripe for picking, or no, or not. Venotel eshkol anavim nesuhato. So how does he check? He pulls a cluster off and he squeezes it. You know, pulls it off to squeeze it to see if it's ripe or not. What's going to happen? Umzalef al gabe anavim. As he's squeezing it, some of the juice is going to sprinkle on the other grapes that are on the vine still. Again, that squeezing, you want that juice. Well, you want to see if the grape is ready. So what's going to happen? You're going to start squeezing one cluster. It's going to sprinkle on other grapes that are on the tree still. Now, on the tree, there's no tumah. As long as the grape is attached, there's no tumah on the vine. Tumah can only come when you take it off. So what am I worried about? If the grapes that are on the vine are going to get sprinkled when I'm squeezing one of the clusters. So it says, U'mishad mitzira, and then you're going to go take off these grapes and put them in the basket. Adayin mashke tofeyach aleihem. They're still going to be wet from the liquid when it was on the tree, which is the rule over here is that even though it got mukshar at a time where there was no tumah possible, it got mukshar on the tree. But if it's still wet from that liquid that was miratzon, after you took it off the tree, it's still wet, it's still considered ekshir. It doesn't have to be mukshar at a time it can receive tumah. Even if it received ekshir early on the tree itself, and then you took it off and it was still wet, it's considered tofeyach. Tofeyach means what? It has the ability to do so. That's the fourth gezerah. The baby, you're going to come to the tree, to the vine, and you're going to squeeze a cluster to see if it's ripe. As you squeeze, you're just going to spritz on the other ones. And then what? When you take them off immediately and put them in the basket, they're still going to be wet from that original squeezing of the other grapes. And that was Miratzon. That's considered ekshir. So they made a gezerah across the board. Whenever there's liquid on grapes, it's considered a ekshir. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'idach. Still short. What's the other gezerot? We're still short from the 18. Amar Tabi Rishba. Tabi is the name of a person. Rishba is the one that used to trap animals and birds. So he was the trapper. Tabi Rishba. Rishba is a trapper, the hunter. Amar Shimuel, in the name of Shimuel. Av Gidule Tiruma. Tiruma Bobayom Gazru. Gidule Tiruma means if a person takes Tiruma. Let's say he has wheat of terumah, and he plants it. He takes the wheat of terumah and he plants it. So the rabbis made a gezerah that what grows is also considered terumah. Now why would they make such a gezerah? Really, from the Torah, it's not terumah. You know, the seeds themselves were terumah. Whatever comes out now is a new item. Why would they make the product that comes out of terumah, if you planted it, terumah? What's the reason? Because we made a gezerah for if a Yisrael is going to have terumah tehora, that he's really supposed to give to the Kohen. So what is this fellow going to do? The fellow is a kamsan. He's a miser. He doesn't want to give his terumah to the Kohen. So he can figure out a way to bypass the Kohen. How? He'll take his terumah and he'll plant it. Now what's going to end up happening? The terumah that he put, the stuff that comes out, now if it's not terumah, look at the benefit he gets. From a couple of seeds of wheat, he ends up getting now a whole field of kosher produce for himself. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, terumah terumah b'yad yisrael on the third line, ve'enot sara, he's cheap, litna lekohen, ve'zura'a lebatela metorah terumah. He'll plant it, the terumah will disintegrate, he didn't do anything b'yadayim, and the fruit that came out, the stuff that came out is his. So the rabbis made a gezerah now. Whatever you plant from terumah is terumah. Say, boy, there's no benefit. He's going to plant more stuff, it's still terumah. He cannot benefit. So what's he going to have to do? Give it to the Kohen. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava. Rava comes along and says, "E dechashide lehachi." If you're suspecting the guy that he's not giving the terumah to the Kohen, that instead of giving it to the Kohen, he's going to go plant it, then already the guy is not even going to separate his terumah. Why? Since according to Shmuel, the obligation of terumah is only a hita. It's only one kernel of wheat you have to give the Kohen for terumah. Which means, if the guy wanted to, all he had to do is give a kernel of wheat to the Kohen. That's his obligation. So therefore, we're not going to make a suspicion that for a kernel of wheat, he's going to go make this whole trick over here to go plant it in order to save himself. You know, once already he's given the kernel, he's trusted that he's not going to hold it back. We're not going to hoshed him that he's going to play games with him. It's not like he has to give a lot of wheat. If he had to give a lot of wheat, then you can sell gezerah. He might want to hold it. But since all you're telling him he has to give is, yeah, he has to give nothing. No, not 2%. Hita hat. Hita hat is, you have a whole mound of wheat, one Kern Haita Achat Poter Tekni according to the Shemuel. So therefore, he says to say such a suspicion is far-fetched. Look at Rashi, fourth line. If you're suspecting him for this, which means all he has to take is really one chita from the fact that already you're telling me that he'll take that shiur. We're not going to suspect him in such a case, so therefore that cannot be the gezerah. Ela gezerah mishum teruma teme'a biyad kohen. We're worried about, let's say the kohen has the teruma already, and the teruma became teme'a. Now what does the kohen have to do with teruma teme'a? He has to burn it. He has to get rid of it. So what are we worried? Dilma mashe la gabbe. He might say, you know what? I'll keep the teruma teme'a by me. I'll plant it. What's going to happen to the teruma itself? It'll disintegrate in the ground. New stuff will grow. If you say the new stuff is not teruma, bingo. So then already you figured out a way to kosher up the teruma by planting it. Now what are we worried about? That's so let him do it. No, we're worried v'ateli de takara. In the interim, while he's waiting to plant it, he might come to eat it. If he eats teruma teme'a, it's a problem. So therefore they said, when you plant teruma, for example, if you plant teruma teme'a, it'll be, terumat teme'a will come out. Therefore, you're not going to gain anything. So therefore, bottom line, he'll have to burn it. Let's read that Rashi inside. Mishum terumat teme'a biyat kohen, shasura ba'achila. He's not allowed to eat it. Ubal lezura'ah. And he's going to come to plant it. Ve'gazur shetehe b'shma harishon. So the rabbis made a gezerah that even after you plant terumat teme'a, it remains terumat teme'a. I might wait till the planting season, and what's going to happen? He's going to come to eat the teruma when it is tameh. So therefore, he's going to have a problem. Comes the Gemara and says, so now, but now that he knows, as for example, now let's finish the thought. Now that he knows when he plants it, it's going to be teruma tameha. What am I planting it for? That's not more teruma tameha. Therefore, burn it right away. He's not going to hold on to it. So that's the takana v'idach. What's the other gizirah? We're still short from the 18. Amar avchaya bar ameh mishemed de'ula af mi she'ashik lo baderech. A person was walking on the road on Erev Shabbat, and all of a sudden it became dark, which means Shabbat came. Right before Shabbat, what does he do? Noten kiso le'nochri. He gives his wallet to a goy. Bo bayom gazru. What's the case? A fellow's walking on Friday with his wallet. Right before Shabbat, he remembers now, he has his wallet now. Now already, it's choshech. It's Shabbat. What does the guy do now? He has a lot of money in his wallet. He wants to get it home. So the rabbis made a gezerah that day. Give it to a goy.
Oh my God.
Now, even though giving it to a goy is yisud rabbanan, Amirah le'goy b'Shabbat is asumid rabbanan. How could the rabbi say give it to a goy? So they said like this. We know this person over here is going to do something. He's not leaving his money just to lose his money. So they could have told him, listen, there's a way to get your money home without making any isur. The law says if you walk less than 4 amot into the Shut Rabbim, you walk 3.9, stop. 3.9, stop. You're not making any isur. So they should have told him, just walk home, but every 3.9 before you get the 4 amot, stop and continue going. Or were they worried? They made a gezerah that day, don't do that. Because we're worried, the guy instead of going 3.9 is going to go 4.1, and then said he's isur doraita. Especially he wants to get home, to put his money away. So therefore they made a gezerah that day, you cannot walk even less than 4 amot in the Rishut Rabbim. 4 amot in the Rishut Rabbim is Sudoraita. But you can't even walk 3.9 and stop. 3.9 is like Gezerah Atu Doraita. So the rabbi said, listen, we'd rather you do a definite Isur Rabbanan than come to maybe do an Isur Doraita. So for that day they told him, hey, the Gezerah, give the wallet to the goy. So that's another Gezerah. The Idach, I was still short. What's the other gezerot? Amar Bali. Bali is the name of a Tana. Amar Avimi Sanvata'a. Sanvata'a is the name of a place. Kitan, the bread of the goyim. Vishamnan, the oil of the goyim. The yenan is the wine of the goyim. Ubnotehem, and the girls, their daughters. Kulan miyud het davarhen. Those are all part of the yud het, which means, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, this is all considered one gezerah. It's one of the 18. Let's just review them quickly. The law of pat akum, which means the rabbis forbade, even though the ingredients of the bread that the goy is cooking, baking for you is 100% kosher, however, they didn't want you to break bread with him, because you might come to marry their daughters. Shemnan also. Originally, they made a law that olive oil can only be pressed by a Jew. If it's pressed by a goy, you can't eat it. This gezerah eventually was repealed because it was too difficult. But originally there was a gezerah on shaman of the goyim as well. Yain, we understand as well. The goy presses the wine. We don't want you to drink it because you might come to marry. Ubnotehen. Now what does this mean? And the daughters, their daughters, the chaura, their daughters are forbidden to us. Anyway, the Torah says, lo tethaten bam. However, the Torah only says, lo tethaten bam. We're not allowed to marry them. But if a person, let's say, would go with a goya, not for marriage, from the Torah law, there's no isur. Where did the isur come from? From the Bet Din Shel Hashmonaim. The Bet Din of the Hashmonaim came along, and they said that it's going to be asur to be with a goya. They made that takana. Now, they made a takana that a person cannot be make isur with her. The Yud Het Gezerot came along and said, you cannot even have Yehud with a Goya. So if it started from the Torah, Lo Tethaten. Then already the Bet Din Shel Hashmonaim came along and said, Isur to Mamash Tashvish. And then they came along and said, Asur to even have Yehud. So that's what it means of Ubnotehen. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, Kulam Yud Hedavar. Hani Chal Rabbi Meir. And now we gotta do some accounting over here. According to Rabbi Meir, it's okay. Which means, Rabbi Meir counted the case of the bucket in the mikveh. So now, according to this, if you count all of them, including the case of the bucket, you'll come out to 18. El Rabbi Yoseh, but according to Rabbi Yoseh, they did not count that case. Shabsareh Havyan, you have 17, which means you're still short one. Let's look at Rashi. Hani hal Rabbi Meir. Demanu lehu lehad maniach kelim ta'at ha-sinor. That counts the case of putting the kelim under the pipe. Havilu yudhet. And Rashi counts them for you now. Let's go to the very important Rashi to get the subtotal. Tet de pasle teruma. 9 that we saw in the Mishnah. 9 things that are posel teruma. Ve'en korin ve'en folin. And the previous two that we learned in the previous Mishnayot, that you don't read by the light of the candle, the lamp, and you don't delouse your clothes by the light of the lamp, that's 11. Ha Hadzar, that's 11. Pasulu Zayin, but we're short 7. Tsinor, count the case of the Tsinor, that's the drain pipe that's going into the bucket, right? Umarda, that's the one we did today in the beginning of the daf, with the tum'ah on the thickness of the marda. Ubenot Kutim, Benot Kutim is that they are considered Nida from birth. Ubotzer, that's the person that's plucking the grapes. There is Hechsher Tuma on them. Vigidule Teruma, that's the case we just saw, when you plant Teruma, it remains Teruma. Venoten Kiso, giving your wallet to the Goy on Shabbat. Upitan Shimnam Hada. And Pitan and Shimnam, that's all considered one Gezerah. The bread, the oil, etc. That's one that you have 18. However, according to Rabbi Yoseh, that you take out the case of the drain pipe, the tzinor, you have shavsere, you have 8, 17. So the Gemara says, "Ika had Rav Achabar Ada." We have another one of Rav Achabar Ada. The Amar Rav Achabar Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Gazlu al Pitan Mishum Shimnan. He says the rabbis made a gezerah originally on the bread, so you don't come to eat their oil. The al shabnan, they made a gezerah on the oil, mishum yenam, so you don't come to drink their wine. Now the Gemara says, hold it. Al pitan mishum shemna. It sounds like oil is worse. They made a gezerah on the bread, so you don't come to drink their oil. So the Gemara says, "May ulme de shemen mipat." Why is oil worse than bread? Seemingly, it should be the opposite, because bread is more common, and therefore, if you're worried about, you know, not coming close to the goyim, the bread should be the ikar gezerah. So he says, "Fine." Elagazu al pitan v'shemnan. They made a gezerah on both bread and wine. Mishum yenam, so you don't come to drink their wine. Val yenam. And they made a gizra on their wine, mishum, binotehen, so you don't come to marry their daughters, which is even to have yehud with their daughters. Now, val binotehen, mishum, davar acher. And they made a gizra on their daughters, so you don't come to do davar acher. What is davar acher? Avodah zarah. And then there's another gizra, val davar acher, mishum, davar acher. And we'll see with that, davar acher, because of the another thing, because of another thing. That they left anonymous. But bottom line, the Gemara says, Ikaha, look at Rashi, the Mosif Rav Yitzhak Adabimi, al davar acher mishum davar acher. Which means bottom line, we have the extra gezerah. This last gezerah, davar acher mishum davar acher, is already a new gezerah. What is that? Gemara says, my davar acher, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, gazu al tinok nochri. They made a gizra on a tinok nochri, a child, a boy, a nochri. But let's say he's 9 years old. Shemitameh b'ziva. A goy, 9 years old already, they put tuma on him as if he's a zav. Nobody will come in contact with him. Why? Shelo yehe tinok yisrael lagil etzlo b'mishkav zachur. Because they didn't want the Jewish children to be alone with the goyim and be subject to homosexuality, mishkav zachur. So therefore they said, the kid's tameh. Once the kid's tameh, nobody's going to go near him, because the goyim was suspicious on mishkav zachur. They didn't want you to make yehud with a goy. So what did they say to put tumah on him? So that's already that's a new gezerah. That they were gozer on a goy to make him a zav. Gazu al davar acher, mishum davar acher. Mazeh davar acher, gazu al goy, mishum davar acher, mishum mishkav zachur. So bottom line, according to the B'yoseh, there's your 18th. Put the davar acher, mishum davar acher as the 18th gezerah that they made. Shamayin and El. So Gemara says, hold it. Yachid, Rabbi Meir, Nami, Tashare Havyad. According to Rabbi Meir, then you have 19. Because you have this davar acher, mishum davar acher. And he counted the case of the mashkim, with the bucket that's catching the water from the mikveh. So now you have already 19 gezerot. Again, pitan, shemnam, yenam, binotem is all considered one. Lat and binotem is all considered one. The new one we added is over here is goy, mishum, mishkav, zakur. So we say, according to Rabbi Meir, very good. According to Rabbi Yosef, that's number 18. According to Rabbi Meir, that's number 19. So Gemara says that. Gemara's answers: Ochlin v'kedim shenitmeu b'mashkin b'hada hashiv dehu. We had a case of food that got tameh from liquid. That food can be b'tameh teruma, and we had a case of kelim that got tameh from liquid that can also be b'tameh teruma. Those are one of the 9 cases of things that could be metameh or posel terumah. Again, you had the mashkeh touched a food, the food now became, let's say, a sheni, and they make a terumah, a shilishi. Or you have a mashkeh that's able to touch a kelim, and the kelim were able to touch terumah, makes it pasul. They carry that as one case. Whether kelim or ochlim became tameh from mashkeh, they have the ability to posel terumah. Instead of counting that as 2 cases, count that as one case. So therefore you have 18. And that finishes the 18 Yezerot. Comes the Gemara and Mishnah and says, Be'er Shammai Omri. Be'er Shammai says, En shorin diyo. You're not allowed to soak the ink. V'samanim. Samanim is the different herbs that they would soak in order to make dye. V'karshinin. Karshinin is the food of the animals. Only if you put them in the soaker from before Shabbat, where the process will be finished before Shabbat starts. What is Beit Shammai concerned about over here? These cases over here, there's an isur on Shabbat of lash. You're not allowed to knead, or you're not allowed to make a a dough. These things over here were like things that would congeal and turn into one substance. What is making a dough mean? You're taking separate things and putting them together, making one unit. So therefore, the dio would be, let's say they would take a certain smoke. They would take the smoke of a olive oil, and they would burn the oil, and the smoke would come up, and they would take, let's say, a piece of glass, and they would catch the smoke. Now this glass would become blackened. They would take that black soot that's on the glass, and they would scrape it into a keli. And then they would add regular olive oil or oil to it, and they would mix it up in order to make a paste, which would eventually be the ink. So Beit Shammai says, that process, you're allowed to put it together, but it's got to be done from before Shabbat. Because if you're not going to, if you're going to put it right before Shabbat, the process is going to be taking place on Shabbat. So what's the problem? I'm not doing it, it's happening by itself. Beit Shammai holds that just like you're not allowed to work on Shabbat, your kelim are also not allowed to work for you on Shabbat. That's called the law of Shevitat Kelim. They're going to become congealed. That's a problem of Gibul. So there, it's called the Melak Lash. I mean, you're putting it together. So therefore, Beit Shammai says, if you're going to put it right before Shabbat, it's going to happen on Shabbat through your kelim. Now let's get the three cases. Diyo, that's the ink case that I told you. Samanim is also, they put herbs together to make the paste in order to have the dyes. Same issue. The karshinim, also the food of the animals, they would put it together with water, let's say, and it would become one glob of food. That would also be asur, unless you put it early enough during the day, so it happens before Shabbat. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Ubetilel matirin. Ubetilel says it doesn't matter. You don't have to have the process finished before Shabbat. So long as you put it in before Shabbat, even though it's happening on Shabbat itself, there's no gezerah of Shevitat Kelim. Next case. Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai says, En notnim onim shel peshtam netoch hatanur. Onim shel peshtam is like bundles of flax. You cannot put them in the oven. Ela kedesh shehabilu mebe'ojom. Only if they become hot from mebe'ojom, from day. Why would they put their peshtam in the oven? In order to make it whitened. They want to whiten the peshtam. That's called libun. Libun, whitening, is one of the melachot. So therefore, again, bleaching, exactly. So therefore, according to Beit Shammai, if you're going to put it in right before Shabbat, what's going to happen? The bleaching is going to take place on Shabbat. But you're not doing it. But your kelim are doing it. Your vessels are doing it. Beit Shammai said, just like you can't do a melacha, your kelim cannot do a melacha. So therefore, you have to put it in enough time that it'll become bleached from before Shabbat. You want to dye wool. How would they dye wool? They would take wool, they would stick it in a vat of paint, of dye. So now, if you're going to put it in right before Shabbat, what's going to happen? The dye is going to catch the wool on Shabbat itself. That's considered dying. Again, you're not doing it. Your kelim are doing it. Beit Shammai says kelim is asur. So he says you have to put it in from before Shabbat, ela kedesh yiklot ha'ayin. So the dye will catch on the wool from before Shabbat. Beit Hillel matirin. Again, Beit Hillel says mutar. Now, the Hadush of Beit Hillel, in this case, the Rishonim explain, really, how many times are you going to tell me? Beit Hillel holds, there's no kelim. The Hadush is here, even though when it comes to the oven, sticking things in the oven, we usually mahmir that you might come to stoke. You might come to stoke the coals and things like that. The Hadush is, by Pishtan, there's no suspicion that you might come to stoke coals, because it'll get too hot and you ruin the Pishtan. So therefore, it's mutar even to stick things in the oven like this before Shabbat, and we don't make an extra gezerah of Shema Yachteh.
Next case, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai teach, En porsin mitzudot hayav ve'ofot ve'dagim. You're not allowed to set up traps to catch animals, birds, fish, Ela kedesh yatsudu mebe'odyom.
Only if you know, let's say, that the traps will catch their game from before Shabbat. Tosfos says, how do you know you're going to catch game? So Tosfos, you're putting it in a spot where there's definite animals over there, and we're talking about a case where the trap can only catch one or two. Because otherwise, if it can catch a lot, even if you're going to put it mebe'ojom, on Shabbat it's also going to be asur, according to Metzuk, because it's going to catch more. So you're taking a small trap that can catch one animal, and you're putting it in a spot where it's definitely going to catch something. So Beit Shammai, you got to put it enough time so it can catch it from before Shabbat. Ubet Hillel matirin. But there's a mutar. Why? I don't care if it catches it on Shabbat, because you're not trapping it. The kelim is trapping him. He doesn't hold up.
Shemitat kelim. And again, the Gemara will say the Hidush. Next case. Bet Shammai omrim. Bet Shammai teach. En mochrin le nochri.
You're not allowed to do a transaction with a goy right before Shabbat. Ve'en to'anin. You're not allowed to help him load his animal. Ve'en magbihin alav. Nor are you allowed to load him. Meaning, take the merchandise and put it on the goy's back. Ela kedei she'yagi le'makom karov. Only if there's enough time for him to get out of the city to a place that's close. Why, bitch, am I saying? It's the goy stuff over here. But you can't even help him, because what are the people going to think? The people are going to think that it's your goods and you're sending him as a messenger to do something for you on Shabbat. It's Gezerah. So I say, you can't load him, you can't do a transaction unless he can get close to his...
Now, so she says, "Ela kedei shegilim kom karov kilomar shi'a makom karov shulichenu sham,"
which means that the place that the goy is going to, he can get there while it's still daylight.
Ubetelam atirin,
betelam mutar. I don't make this gezera.
The Shammai omrim en notin orot la'abedan.
You cannot give skins to the ma'abed, to the tanner before Shabbat.
Ve'lo kelim nechobes nokri,
or your laundry to a goy launderer,
ela kedei she'asu me'be'od yom.
Only if we'll be able to do the job
me'be'od yom.
Again, what's the logic of Bet Shammai? It looks like if the goy is going to do it on Shabbat, it's going to look like as if you told him, do it for me on Shabbat. Even though you didn't say that. Ladies, you can't even give it to the goy late Shabbat afternoon, because it's going to look like as if you made a condition with him that you want him to do it for you on Shabbat. And all these cases, Betel says, as long as the sun is still out, mutar. Again, I can give it to the goy. I didn't tell him to do it to me on Shabbat. If he decides to do it on Shabbat, that's his prerogative. And all the other cases as well. Betel says, as long as it's still sunny outside, you can do all these things. Aye, but some of these things are going to happen on Shabbat. The trap is going to catch something. The dye is going to, the semir. And the karshinim are going to become migubal. They're going to become, doesn't matter. You're not doing it, you're kelim are doing it. Betel does not hold of shevitat kelim.
Last case of the Mishnah. Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Nohagim Ayu Bet Abba. Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, it was the custom of my father's house, Shayun Notnim Kli Laban Lekobes Nochni. We used to give our white garments to the goy launderer, Shelosha Yamim Kodem LeShabbat. They would already give it
3 days before Shabbat, which means they in Halakha held like Bet Shammai. That what? You can't give the goods right before Shabbat. There has to be enough time to clean the goods before Shabbat. Only thing is, white clothes need a long time to clean. So therefore, they would give it to the Koves Nochri 3 days before Shabbat in order to give them enough time that it can be done before Shabbat. Point is, Rashbag held like, or Rashbag's father held like,
Bet Shammai. So comes the Gemara and says, שהיו נותנים כלי לבן לקובס נוכלי שלושה ימים קודם לשבת ושווים.
And this case, בית הלל ובית שמאי agree that what?
אלו ואלו, both, שטוענים קורת בית הבד ועיגולי הגת.
That you're allowed to press the grapes in a בית הבד, in a press, and עיגולי הגת. Now, if you want to see a quick picture of these things, let's look at the Pirush Chai in 183. Bet Abad, you would have grapes in a bowl, let's say. The grapes already were smashed already. Now I'm speaking very specific. The grapes already were smashed already where on their own liquid would come out. You just want to speed up the process. So before Shabbat you would put this press, which is made out of, let's say, a long piece of horizontal wood, and then you have a piece of wood coming down in the center of it, a vertical piece, and it's attached, and you just place it into the keli, so that the vertical piece is pressing down on the grapes, and it would cause the liquid to come out. You have a spout coming out of the keli where the juice will drip out. This you could do before Shabbat. Or you're allowed to do Igune Hagat. What is Igune Hagat? Picture number 184. They would put these round discs, these round wooden discs, heavy, over the grapes in order that the juice should come out. Now, why should this be permissible? According to this, Bet Shammai is changing his shita lechaura. Because Bet Shammai said, just like you can't do work, your kelim can't do work. Your kelim are doing work. So Bet Shammai agrees like this and says, since these grapes are not regular fresh grapes, already they were pressed from before Shabbat, and therefore they're considered already, as you squeeze them already, it would have happened anyway, which means the juice is coming out anyway. It's not Yisur Deoraita over here. Which is, here when you're putting these things before Shabbat, you're just speeding up the process. So therefore, in this case, Bet Shammai will be lenient that you could put the press on the olives that were squeezed already and on the Egudei Agat, because even if you did this on Shabbat, it only would be Asur Derabbanan, because the olives were pressed already, the juice was coming out anyway. All you're doing is doing it harder to make it come out faster. So Bet Shammai would say there's no Shevitat Kelim in this case. Baruch Adonai Olam.